Questions and Answers on the Bible. Chapter 44. The Marks of the Lord Jesus. At our morning lesson on the Sabbath, some discussion was caused as to Paul's meaning in the 6th chapter of Galatians and the 17th verse. We know it was the custom at that time to brand slaves with their owner's particular marks, and most of the class thought that Paul was so branded or pierced with a particular mark. I think Paul meant that his offerings in the flesh were the marks of the Lord Jesus, such as his receiving stripes, his bad eyesight, and many other sufferings that he endured in the body. I shall be glad if you will answer this question in the present truth. Before talking about the question itself, I wish to say a few words concerning discussing texts of Scripture, or any expression found in the Bible. Truth is never arrived at by discussion, but by meditation. It is revealed, not reasoned out. Be still, and know that I am God, says the Lord. Swift to hear, slow to speak, is the motto for Bible students, as well as for all others. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, Christ said. We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. Like him, therefore, we too should speak only that which we know, and not that which we imagine, or that which is but passing thought. Jesus has said, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Then there is no reason why we should not refrain from expressing any mere opinion about any portion of Scripture. Indeed, in view of what he has promised, it is a matter of presumption to do otherwise. It is true enough that slaves, as well as cattle, have been branded with a particular mark, to show who laid claim to them. But the idea that the Lord Jesus uses a branding iron on the bodies of his followers is purely fanciful. We read that, in Christ, those who believe are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. But we well know that the Spirit of God does not brand any figure on the bodies of believers. The redeemed ones standing with the Lamb on Mount Zion, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. While there is no specific mark on the bodies of believers such as is placed on cattle, by which one can at a glance distinguish them from unbelievers, the marks of the Lord Jesus are undoubtedly distinguishing marks. They indicate to whom the one who has them belongs. If we study the subject a little farther, we shall see that these marks are the characteristic signs of the Lord's life, transforming the mind and soul of the believer, and manifesting itself even in the body. The connection shows that the marks, of which the Apostle Paul speaks, are the marks of the cross of Christ. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And this agrees with what he says in, Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The Apostle Paul had the marks of the Lord Jesus, the marks of his cross, yet he had never hung on the cross. We also are to have the same marks, being crucified with Christ, yet it is not probable that any person in this age will be stretched on a cross of wood. The cross stands for the death of Christ, and we are to be made conformable unto his death, every day of our lives. Only so can the life of Jesus be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul had suffered doubtless more than any other follower of Christ has ever suffered, and he certainly bore the scars of some of his beatings and stoning. But such scars do not necessarily mark one as belonging to the Lord Jesus, and therefore his words refer to more than those outward marks. He was weak in body, but strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. God said to him, My strength is made perfect in weakness. And this led him to exclaim, Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The life of Christ manifest in our mortal, sinful flesh is that which marks us as his. This is indicated by, For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Whether a man has the marks of a knife or an iron or a stone in his flesh, or not, is a matter of no importance. All depends on being a new creature. Our bodies belong to the Lord Jesus. They are prepared for him to dwell in, and each one is to be offered as a living sacrifice. This offering of ourselves, soul, spirit, and body, to the Lord Jesus means our crucifixion with him, for it means the giving up of our own life of sin in exchange for his life of righteousness. In being crucified with him we become new creatures, for, being buried with him, we rise to walk in newness of life. This transformation, this passing from death to life, is by the renewing of the mind. This is not the work of one single moment or hour, but the inward man is to be renewed day by day. The mind that was in Christ is to be in us, and this is the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the personal presence of Christ, His life, is to take possession of us, mortifying the deeds of the body, and using all its members as instruments of righteousness. Thus the body is to be brought completely under the control of the mind. This involves, it should be remembered, a transformation of the body. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, tells us that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This is our reasonable service. Reason, and not passion and impulse, is to control the body. The renewed mind must be master, and the body must not be used in any way, or subjected to any treatment, for which a good reason, a scripture reason, cannot be given. When this is the case, the sentence, "I like it," will never be heard in defense of any practice, for that is no reason at all, but the individual will become enlightened as to what is right, and will then allow the same Spirit which gives him this enlightenment to teach him to like everything that is good. Whoever recognizes that God has of right the control of his body will say from the heart, "I delight to do your will, O God." His mouth will be satisfied with good things, and he will not long for anything that is in any degree harmful. Now when this transformation takes place, the results will be apparent. The life of Jesus will be manifested in the mortal body, in the renewal of youth. Thus we see that the marks of the Lord Jesus are the evidences of the life of Christ. He cannot be hid, and if he be formed within the hope of glory, even the world will be able to see to whom the one thus possessed belongs. This is the fullness of the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God is within you, and its manifestation will be the most striking sign of the soon coming of Christ. One blessed lesson should be noted before we drop this question. The apostle says, "From henceforth let no man, no individual, whether man or devil, trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." The marks of the Lord Jesus are his characteristics, as we have seen, and the life of Jesus is his name. As men place their names on their property, in order that others may be warned not to interfere with it, so God does with his possession. This is our confidence. The Lord's slave is a free man, and whoever can say of the Lord, "Whose I am and whom I serve," can also say to all who have any designs against his liberty, "Hands off, for I belong to the Lord Jesus." By the life of the Lamb we successfully resist the devil, and cause him to flee from us. It is a glorious thing to be the property of the Lord. Let us allow him to stamp his image and superscription more distinctly upon us.